This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy. 94.9.
Current community affairs. The news and views you need to know. You are on the line with Dean Beck.
It's Thursday, the 7th of January, 2016. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me on the line today. And must I say, a very happy new year to you one and all. I do hope that you're as excited by 2016 as I am. We take off where we kind of left off in 2015. PrEP was certainly the talk of the town. We have a situation here in Victoria where we have a trial with about 125 people on it. New South Wales on World AIDS Day decided to expand its trial. People have been accessing PrEP from overseas, importing it themselves. And latest reports suggest that some 85% increase in importations over the November-December period. More and more people are wanting it, more and more people are on it. However, if we are to achieve zero new infections by 2020, we're going to have to do a hell of a lot more than what we're currently doing. Joining me in the studio are two men who think they have a solution to this particular problem. Daniel Brace is formerly with Living Positive Victoria. He joins us on the line. Welcome.
Thank you, Dean, and Happy New Year to you and everyone listening as
and
well.
And to you. Rodney Ellis, formerly with PrEP Access Now. Thank you very much for joining us today and for presenting what ultimately is a way forward, maybe. It's certainly a radical suggestion. Daniel, can you tell us what your plan is that will be launched tomorrow?
It's called the Rapture Plan, and that's an acronym, of course, as all things are around HIV. But it stands for the Rapid Agile PrEP Team for the Unified Responsive End. And I have to say, Rodney, that was just like an excellent acronym. It really sums up things. It's going to take us all by surprise.
We're going to need a lot more than acronyms.
We hope, but yeah, let's explore what that actually means.
Rodney, I believe this is about the sector, it's about community, and it's of course going to be funded by government.
Yes.
How do we get all of those planets aligned and working at their utmost?
Well, we do need to get all those planets aligned. We do need a focus. I think one of the things that I've noticed in the sector, basically, is that everyone's talking about the goal of 2020. Everybody is talking about the need for PrEP. But when you get to the detail, nobody has a plan. Nobody seems to know what the overall picture is. And we do, you know, when we looked at
we've
the
we've got a goal.
We've got a goal,
right.
Yay,
yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
But, you know, from my business experience, when you've got a goal, you've got to sit there and look at the structure of the whole thing, work backwards, plan backwards, make sure that you've got lots of sub-goals, that you're looking to, you know, get some real achievement out of it. You don't want to get to 2020 and go, well, let's push this out to 2030, because that means that, you know, the real cost of this is that there are people seroconverting.
Sure. So more than 1,000 each year?
More than 1,000 each year. I was doing a little bit of, you know, number crunching on this. During the crisis in 1987, when they had the Grim Reaper, there were 2,411 seroconversions in the year, which, you know, everybody thought was shocking. It was horrible. We were all very scared about where that was going. Now, the latest figure from the Kirby report is that it's 1,081. So if you do the math, that's still 44% of the crisis. We haven't really achieved significant gains in 30 years. So we do need to not lick this around the edges. We need to go down on this properly. We need to have a look at what needs to be done. We need to not fluff it up. We need to not look at what our next career move is on this. We need to look at how do we solve the problem. So
What is Rapture? Is it an organisation? Is it a board? Is it what is it?
That's a really good question, Dean. It's actually based in a way of thinking about problems, and I think that Rodney sort of touched on that because we use a technique which is really hot at the moment, and people are talking about it, called Agile. And look, I had no experience of what this was because I'm not from an IT background. Yeah. In fact, I sometimes find IT a bit challenging. However, I got the concept, which was about actually shifting the dynamic from, and this has actually happened in communications as well, which I'm really happy to talk about because that's sort of my shtick. But it's about making the product owner or the person who actually uses the end user in charge. It actually puts them in charge of informing the process.
So it's about empowering community?
Yeah, that's right.
Ultimately, the plan is about empowering community. We want to put the power to get to zero back in people's hands and tell everybody out there that this is your job. This is your right and your job.
So, Daniel, you're...
With help.
You're recently from the sector. What's wrong with the current system nationally? What's wrong with the... What's not working, I guess?
Well, I mean, I think that we have an excellent response. Our response to HIV and AIDS, and, you know, this also came through very strongly in the documentary film I made for AIDS 2014 as well. You know, we have a world-renowned response. What happened in the beginning and what continued to happen has continued to happen is around community engagement and the support of community-based structures. That's fantastic. But as Rodney's pointed out, what we haven't seen in this kind of these final days for ending HIV is that clear roadmap to getting to zero. So we've seen these great targets, but how do we achieve them as a community? And really, who's going to do the work around that as well at a national level? You know, the trials that you've mentioned already are fantastic. You know, that's wonderful, and that's accessing this fantastic new tool to many people, but there are still many people who won't be able to get on those trials and who won't be able to access them. So we've sort of wanted to sort of throw this out as a bit of a start that actually I think we can do it.
We mentioned the three sectors, community, sector and government. Mm. Of those three sectors, who have you engaged with to put this proposal together? Who have you got on board already?
Well, we've already engaged all of those people at some level. I mean, this is the start of the process of engagement.
Right.
It's very important in the philosophy and the principles.
It's so exciting for us to be here because this is really the launch.
Yeah. Yes. This is us.
This is the beginning of the engagement.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to cost money, certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And where does that money come from?
It's going to come from federal government, from state government.
We've got 4 years, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we've got a big
job
in 4 years.
So I'm thinking if we're going to do this in 4 years, we're going to need a lot of money.
Yes.
And a blanket coverage.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track?
But not as much as you think. I mean, the other thing about this plan is because it's agile. Now, we didn't really talk about agile and what that is, but it's actually about being responsive as well as empowering people. And what we sort of have through this plan explored is how we can do this in an accountable, responsible way to make the money go further.
It's got to be efficient. It's got to be, if you spend a dollar, you want $2 worth of return on it.
So are you looking for new funds or are you just looking at pulling funds from existing funding areas? What are you looking
at? The plan sort of overlays the existing support that the sector receive. It's not at all about redirecting funds. It's actually the fact this is a new, this prep is new and it needs its own attention at this time. It needs its own support, its own funding base. However, that can be enhanced by all of the funding that's happening already. And it doesn't detract from any of that work either. It's about building on that and getting more bang for your buck, if you like, as well in these last few years.
I spoke to Rob Blake on Christmas Eve, just gone. Let me play you what he had to say when I asked him the question, what does 2016 have in store for AFAO? He's the executive director of AFAO based in Sydney?
Sydney, yeah.
It's challenging year. So we and the other national HIV organisations who are Commonwealth funded, you know, we are in the middle of competitive tendering for funding. Competition is in this area. It brings out the best and the worst of people, really, because, you know, money is very scarce amongst NGOs, and many people have had big cuts. There have been big cuts in the health department, in the health budget. So it's not a great place to be in. We have big plans. There's an election coming up. We have a fairly well-situated Prime Minister who is in a inner city Sydney electorate and is a good friend, and we will make him a better friend to our community. As well as that, we see that both rapid testing and PrEP, you know, some of the critical parts of the response to HIV, and we want to normalise their use and to make sure that the men who are really going to benefit from both of those are getting access to them, but also start to ask these questions about what about the other parts of the communities affected by HIV. We've got some good answers for gay men. We need to be making sure that we've got good answers for people who inject drugs, for people from other communities affected by HIV, because our targets about reducing HIV new infections are not just about gay men. If we want to end HIV, we want to end it for everybody.
That's Rob Blake. When I spoke to him on Christmas Eve just gone, he's the Executive Director of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations. I'm speaking here in the studio with Rodney Ellis and Daniel Brace, two men behind an initiative, a proposal titled Rapture, and it's about fast-tracking PrEP and achieving the 2020 goal of zero new HIV infections. Rob mentioned the tender process there. Now, my understanding is that the tender process is a kind of firstly, it's about reducing funds, ultimately.
Yep, yeah.
We're looking at about $9.5 million across all bloodborne viruses, STIs, that sort of stuff, of which only 1.6 mil is meant for MSM. Mm-hmm. The rest of it goes to sex workers and culturally and linguistically diverse people and the Aboriginal sector and the youth sector. So the current tender process, of which NAPWA, AFAO and others are all going for, makes no reference to PrEP as a amount of funds. So your proposal says you want about $14 million from government. Is that right? How are you going to get from what's ultimately 9.5 mil to 14 mil just for the PrEP thing and not for all of the others?
We should be really clear from the outset that this is not a tender document.
No.
You know, this isn't actually putting this next to those tender documents is doing us a disservice, if you like.
Sure.
What we're actually building on here is the increase in political support for PrEP, the calls from senators and health ministers and federal MPs that PrEP is now here and what's happening about it. So we see this as an opportunity to really engage those or pull those threads together in a way which clearly shows the application of PrEP within the picture of decreasing HIV. Look, Rodney, what have you got?
Well, my take on this is that there has to be a focus, that the minister needs to be told that it can be a real end and that we can be the first in the world to get to that real end. And I think that is worth the spend on the money.
I think there's been numerous studies of, you know, the long-term medication of people on HIV meds as opposed to, you know, shorter-term PrEP. And PrEP wins out every time.
It does.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Dean, something here that I hear is a real focus on government. Part of the Rapture plan is actually community members are already accessing PrEP, you know? They're already working around the system to take the action that's needed to reduce HIV transmissions and protect themselves against HIV. And I think that's really worthy. I think that's really worthy of noting as well, because we're finding as we start to roll this plan out in front of people that support for this may even come from outside of government completely. You know, that actually there's goodwill in our community to make this happen. Yeah. And I think that's really wonderful. The access programs through organisations such as PrEP Access Now are really, really honourable. And that's great.
Yep.
And we see it, actually this plan not just as an ask for government, but actually for individuals to say, what role can I have right now? What can I do to promote this and to really enact this?
Sure. I totally get that. But you've got a $30 million budget and it's got to be paid for. You've itemized $2 million in, if we call that philanthropy, you know, donations. State government is, of course, the major response in its health sector. The Victorian government is going to lose $17.5 billion over the next 10 years in its health sector alone. Already we've seen cutbacks in South Australia, Northern Territory and Tasmania already had health department cutbacks. We're going to see more of that.
Yeah, it's a legitimate point that this is a hard economic time for a lot of those bodies. We're putting our hand out and saying, give us some cash. But on the flip side of that, this cash is going to go a long way. In the scale of things, it's not that big. I mean, the federal minister has announced really nicely, I mean, good work, good on her, that she's going to spend $1,000 million on eradicating Hep C.
Yeah, amazing.
Now, for us to turn around and say, well, can you give us $14 million and we'll eradicate HIV transmission? Bargain.
Yeah, well, long term, absolutely. And what you're saying is ultimately it's a short term investment for a long term financial reward, really.
Yeah, well, if you throw in all the factors about, you know, that everybody talks about but they don't really focus on, it's that when someone seroconverts, it's ultimately going to cost a lot more. That's going to come out of the budget somewhere.
Sure.
And so, look, I'm one of those people, you know, when I go to the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic and pick up my medicine and see the price on it, you know, part of me does go, wow, you know, that's a lot of money. I'm grateful, very grateful. But, you know, if we're talking about not only improving people's health long term, but also then as an efficiency or saving, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So if we say to the federal minister, let's spend $14 million over a two-year period with a really powerful push on this and really knock it on the head, how much are we going to save? It's going to be way, way more.
You're going to need some sort of governance structure, no doubt. You're going to need some sort of connection to the sector. I see that. Am I right in saying AFAO is the, what are we calling that?
The body that we're going to have governed.
You're linking
the
up
whole
with?
Process.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
That,
okay.
That. We need to make sure that we're clear that this is a proposal to AFAO.
Sure.
We're really happy that they're considering it.
Yep.
I think it's going to their board meeting in February.
Which consists of 9 members, is that right? 5 of which are agencies, and I don't know what their makeup of the others is.
Yeah,
government, is it?
No, they're from other areas of the community, which Rob really, you know, was saying in that clip that you played for us. You know, these are from those parts of the community who are very important, integral to keeping HIV transmissions down. So,
Includes sex workers.
Includes sex workers.
That's the
people
other
who use
and
drugs.
So does the Rapture Plan, by the way.
Yeah.
It does include those sectors. The little motto that we're framing about this is, wherever the HIV virus goes, that's where we go.
Well, it's not exclusive to gay men, although it sometimes seems like that in this country.
And we should say, you know, when you're exploring the Rapture Initiative, you know, that as Rod said, this is our idea. And what we've done is we've really used these existing structures that have worked so well for us in the response and put them in their natural, what we feel is their natural and rightful place. But of course, you know, it's up to them to accept or reject and to support or not. We're not making any assumptions.
Yeah.
I was fascinated to see that your advertising campaign is all of community.
Yes.
Which is the first time we've seen that since the Grim Reaper campaign.
Yes.
And we keep getting told that we need targeted messages to, you know, different bits of the community, like gay men and men who are sex with men.
Well, there's really two segments to it. So the first segment is the all of community, large scale, the federal government should take that under their wing.
And that's about awareness?
That's about awareness and giving a go signal. Because a lot of the problems that I've seen when dealing with these issues is everyone saying, oh, no, it's not here yet, it's not really happening yet. It's just a trial, it's just a study. So they're getting impressions. So they need this go signal from the government saying, no, this is the PrEP era. This is happening now. This is the way that we knock this on the head and get going. So that's what that is. That's the endorsement on a mass scale.
Yep. From my perspective, and as a communications dude, you know, part of this is the pincer movement that happens with the freedom of information that flows across the world. You know, trials are useful and necessary. However, we're seeing results right now. In San Francisco.
Yeah,
we're seeing results right now. And so for individuals who perhaps travel more nowadays, they're in contact with their friends overseas, they're hearing more and more. Oh, so we need to send a clear message. Yep, prep is here. It's not for everyone.
Statistics are great.
Yeah.
And 30% drop over 2 years because of TASP and PrEP.
And I should also add that the other side of your proposal is that smaller niche community subsections are enabled to access funds through this proposal to target their own unique groups.
So you don't need to be an incorporated organisation to do health promotion advocacy work. You don't. Individuals can take, just as in the very beginning, you know, of the epidemic, it was individual actions, you know, spreading the word, talking to their friends.
Part of that really being an incorporated entity is about making sure that all things are transparent.
Yeah, absolutely. Rodney can talk to
it. Okay, so governance is key. We want to make sure that nobody's running off with the funds to buy a new couch.
Sure.
So we are looking at the different sizes of the organisation. So in the plan, there's $8 million for mature HIV organisations, and they have good governance, they've got boards.
Existing entities.
Existing entities. Yep. So the next level is the new people coming on board, and they might be incorporated, they might have good governance, they might have constitutions.
They might be someone with a smart idea.
Yeah. All those people, you know, they've worked it out. They can put their grant together. We'll have people employed in this plan called ACOs, Agile Collaborative Operatives, fancy title, but it just means people who are going to help. They're going to get...
Are they grant screeners?
That's
more
one
than
of their...
They're enablers, I guess.
Enablers
they're
is
right
the key
there
thing.
In the scrum. You know, they're actually there to help, to hold hands, to, you know...
Support. Bolster, whatever.
Yeah, and so, then, you know, also to say, how did it go? What went right, what went wrong, and what can we learn?
Gentlemen, we are rapidly running out of time. This is being officially launched tomorrow, Friday the 8th of January. Mark that day in your calendars. How is it being launched? I mean, you've got a lovely print version of something that I've got in photocopy, but is it online? Where can we find
it? We've got a great website that's going to be launching tomorrow morning, www.preprapture.com.au. And that's going to have a copy of the plan for everybody. There are areas in there where you can contact us, where you can pitch some ideas about how you might want to promote PrEP with your local community, and we can start talking about this. And we will, of course, launching to press, etc., in the normal ways.
So tomorrow is the launch. The website, preprapture.com.au. Yes. Gentlemen, good luck with tomorrow's launch, and come back and let us know how some of the community feedback and all of that
will do.
We would love to do that.
Love to.
Daniel Brace and Rodney Ellis joining us from preprapture.com.au. You are with Dean Beck on the line.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.